change of capacity for something.
What is it? You know, one's on speech. What's the announcement?
I'm happy you're meant to do the announcement today.
Okay.
Just a second.
I mean, because Zoom isn't working, you're saying? I don't mind waiting if that's.
Yud Tes Adar Rishayim. 20th of February.
It's okay, we haven't started.
Rabbi Tzvi Solomon, Yud Tes Adar Aleph, 20th of February. Topic?
The Chazon Yecheskel.
Chazon Yecheskel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to learn a few fundamental principles in Hilchos Shemitah that it's written so beautifully and so clearly by Dinah Bramsky, the Chazon Yecheskel. Dinah Bramsky obviously was well known for being a godel b'Torah, and was London was zeicher to have him as for a while as the Av Beis Din of the London Beis Din for a while. Actually, my great uncle was very close with him, Dine Swift. So I have a special affinity to his writings, and I found them to be remarkable. So I'll share with you a small piece that I learned actually while traveling, and it contains some very fundamental and very, very special principles about Shemitah. Says the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel. The following halacha. V'lo yosuch es anatias b'dova sheyesh lo zuhama. You shouldn't smear the young saplings with some kind of ointment that produces some kind of not particularly pleasant smell. The purpose of that would be in order to frighten away the birds, in order they shouldn't consume the tree, when it's a sapling. So when it's little bit too sensitive, you need to make sure the birds don't peck away at the tree. So you're not allowed to do that in Chong Shmita. You're not allowed to take this ointment and smear it over the sapling. Fine, halacha in Rambam. Someone reads the halacha in the Rambam, he sees a nice halacha in Rambam, that's it. Dinah Yecheskel, Dinah Bramsky, when he read this Rambam, he saw not just a halacha, he saw a fundamental legal principle in all of Hilchos Shemitah, in this seemingly innocuous halacha. Says Dinah Bramsky, this is an unbelievable halacha. Why? What is the result of this ointment? If one takes this ointment and smears it on the sapling, what has one done? Has one improved? Has one produced an improvement in the tree? Or one has maintained the tree? One has maintained the tree. One hasn't produced any improvement. And there's a big discussion in halacha whether in order for a melacha sakarka, an avoda sakarka, which is osa during shmita, one needs to actually improve, do an action which improves the tree or the land, or whether even an action which maintains the land in its present state, maintains the status quo, or maintains, in this case, the tree, is also considered an avodah sakarka and a melachah sakarka. And we see from this Rambam, the Rambam says that even an action which produces no improvement, its purpose is merely to protect the tree and to maintain the status quo, that is considered an avodah sakarka, a melachah sakarka, and is awesome. Now, why should there be a difference between whether you're improving the tree, or the karka, or the land, or whether you're maintaining it? Ultimately, you're doing an act of farming. You're doing a necessary act. So, it surely is an avodah sakarka no matter what. Why should there even be a discussion on this?
Isn't it to stop the insect, take birds, to maintain the food, not to maintain the tree?
In this case, we're talking specifically about maintaining the tree.
I don't care about the tree. I just want the birds not to take away the fruit, which I want.
Now, in this particular case, you do care about the tree because the tree is a sapling and is very, very, very sensitive. So if they come and peck at the tree, forget your fruit. You're never going to have a tree. This crop, it's not just this crop that's been affected. All your crops have been affected. There's going to be no tree left. So therefore, this particular time, we're very, very...
Can you spray that with pesticides, the fruit that's growing? Not because of...
If one is if it's osa to maintain, then probably not. If it's in terms of improving, if you're allowed to maintain, then probably yes.
I'm not maintaining fruit. I just want to stop the birds picking the fruit away.
Before we get there, what exactly is the reason? Why should there be any difference between whether you're maintaining or whether you're improving? Ultimately, it's all an agricultural act. So therefore, here we see again. If we go a little bit further, we see here another principle that the definition of an avodah sakarka and a melachah sakarka is not just the simple act. It's not just the agricultural act. The result of the act is part of the definition of a melachah. Working the karka with no results is not called in law, in Jewish law, melacha sakarka. The definition of melacha sakarka is there's results. If there's no results, if you did an act and there was zero result, then that would not constitute in law a melacha sakarka. It's just an action beyond that, just a simple action. Melacha, working the karka, avodah sakarka, demands results. Part of its definition is there's a result. Therefore, in the case where you're maintaining the land, the result is passive. It's a passive result. It's not an active result. In the case of when you improve the land, there's an active result. There's an actual improvement. Therefore, improving the land, that for sure registers as a result, and that's for sure an avodah sakarka. But when it's only merely a passive result, so then in halacha, it's a question. Is that considered that you did something? Is that a result? Or is that considered invisible? That's not considered that in law that it constitutes any kind of result. In the event that it's not considered any kind of result, so you're left with the action without, you didn't do anything. Well, an action that doesn't actually do anything, doesn't actually produce anything, is not considered an avodah sakarka, would be mutter. Here the Rambam is being machadesh. An amazing chiddush, says Dynabamsky, that even if it's only a passive result, maintaining, that registers as a result in law, and is therefore defines the act as a melacha sakarka, an avodah sakarka, and therefore is osa and not mutter. That is our first Rambam for the day. Zoom. That's the nature of Zoom. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, I had to give shiur on Zoom, and it was, that was an experience.
Just carry on,
sorry. Chas v'shalom. It's good to have a break anyway.
Yeah. across the top.
Okay.
That's our Rambam. The problem with all of this, apparently, is there's an explicit Gemara in Avodah Zorah, an explicit Gemara in Avodah Zorah, where the Gemara explicitly states, explicitly, that there are two types of ointment process, when the farmer takes ointment and spreads it on the tree to improve the tree, then and only then is it osur. But if the farmer takes the ointment and spreads it on the tree in order to protect the tree, as in the case of this Rambam, then the Gemara says explicitly it's mutter. So we see now a direct contradiction between our Rambam and the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. The Rambam is saying that maintaining, doing an act which maintains the tree or the land, even though it's a passive result, that's called an Avodah Sakarka, Melocha Sakarka, it's awesome. And yet the Gemara explicitly states that that's not true, that there's a difference. The only result that counts in law is a positive result, improving. But if it's only maintaining, then it's mutter. It's explicit Gemara in Avodah Zorah. So this is the kasha that the Dayan Abramsky asks. Says Dayan Abramsky, to address this problem, that there is a Yerushalmi. Oh. I guess after each stage it's likes to take a break.
Yerushalmi.
Yerushalmi. Good to go. Yeah. There's a Yerushalmi. And in the Yerushalmi says the following. It quotes a Braisa and a Mishnah. In the Mishnah it says, that one can only use this ointment until Rosh Hashanah, pre-Shavuos. Pre-Shmita, until Rosh Hashanah. From Shmita, it's osur to use this ointment. The Braisa states, even during Shmita, one is allowed to use this ointment, and this process is completely mutter. So the Gemara, Yerushalmi, asks, we have a stira in Braisas, in between the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Yerushalmi could have answered, very simple, what the Mishnah that says that it's osur is referring to the ointment process that improves, therefore even in Shmita, it's osur. The Braisa which says it's mutter is referring to the ointment process which maintains, therefore it is mutter. That's what the Gemara we would have expected the Yerushalmi to have said, in line with our Gemara in the Bavli. But the Gemara does not say that. The Yerushalmi addresses the stira by saying, the Mishnah's Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nossi, and the Braisa is the Chachomim. And they're arguing about whether this process inherently is a melachas is an avodas hakarka or a melach. They have, it's nothing to do with improvement or maintaining.
Sorry.
Yeah, chas v'shalom.
Bad morning. It's the Wi-Fi. I think it's just
the wind. The wind. The wind. The weather. The weather. Says the Yerushalmi, the way we resolve this stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa is not as we would have expected. We were referring to one, the Mishnah says it's osur, is referring to a process of when you're improving the tree with the ointment. And the Braisa, which says it's mutter, is referring to the ointment which is maintaining, and therefore is mutter on Shavuos. That's not how the Yerushalmi deals with it. The Yerushalmi says that it's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi and the Chachomim. Rabbi Yehuda Anossi holds that this process of spreading the ointment is inherently osa. It's avodas hamalacha, it's an avodas hakarka. That is just that. Therefore, it's osa even in Shvius. The Chachomim, that's the Braisa, and they hold this process of putting the ointment on is entirely mutter, irrespective of improvement or not. It's entirely mutter. Presumably, The machlokas is that for an avodas hakarka, for a melachas hakarka to be considered osir and shvius, to be considered a melachas hakarka and an avodas hakarka or a tree, it has to be something which is an inherent internal act on the tree. Something which is relatively external is considered, is not considered an avodas hakarka. It's not considered an avodas ha'ilon. It's external to the tree. It's external to the karka, and therefore falls outside the boundaries of the definitions of an avodas hakarka and avodas ha'malacha. On this, there's a discussion. When you have this ointment, which you're spreading directly onto the tree, so is that kafishir internal, because it's actually on the tree? Is that considered kafishir internal, that it's already avodas hakarka, shittas Rebbe? Or do we say, no, since it's on the outside of the tree, you're not doing any actual pull inside the actual tree, it's still on the outside of the tree, on the bark, therefore that's considered relatively external for the law and is beyond the boundaries of the law. And it's the discussion of where exactly do we draw the line, machlokas tanoim, what's considered internal, where does the boundary for internal and external lie, and what Rebbe says this is within that boundary and is osa, and Rebbe Chochovim holds it's outside of that boundary and therefore entirely mutter. Amazing. But what do we see from this Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi does not make any distinction between improvement and maintaining. Because had it, it could have avoided saying it's a machlokas and brises. We could have said the brises both agree. Mishnah is just, there's a simple chiluk between the two cases. The fact that the Gemara does not make that chiluk proves that the Yerushalmi holds that even maintaining, an act of maintaining, a passive result registers, maintaining karka or tree is considered an avodas a tree, avodas a karka, and is osa. The only way to therefore to resolve it is by saying it's a dispute between Rebbe and the Chacham. Amazing. So we find that there's a machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi. Bavli makes the distinction, and Yerushalmi does not. And says Dayan Abramsky, an amazing yesod, which we're not going to have time to get back to. I spent a lot of time in understanding this. It's an amazing yesod in halacha throughout the Rambam. It's an amazing thing. I've never seen it actually inside. I've heard it. It's the first time I actually saw it inside. The Rambam, Kedarkai, he writes that Kedarkai. The Rambam Kedarkai, when there's a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, paskens that Yerushalmi. I mean, everyone who knows that the halacha, there's a rule, Bavli Yerushalmi, halacha, when you paskens like the Bavli. Apparently the Rambam has the reverse rule. Vesorachi and Godel was there. What on earth is that meant to mean? If Dayan Abramsky had not written that, he says the Rambam Kedarkai Paskin's always like the Yerushalmi. Amazing. And that's a whole discussion itself, which we will not, well, probably will not have time to come back to. Fine. So we've resolved the steer between the Rambam and our Gemara, because the Rambam Paskin's like the Yerushalmi, that argues with our Gemara. Amazing. Problem. This is the last problem for today.
Probably.
Hopefully. unless Rabbeinu Zoom has other ideas. The Rambam himself contradicts himself. And this is the last point. The Rambam himself contradicts himself. Because if you look in Halacha Zion, there, if we were talking in Halacha Hey. If you look at the Rambam, same Perek, Halacha Zion, the Rambam says, Hamakashkesh bezesim im lahavriach esailon also. Someone who does this, he doesn't actually smear this ointment all over the bezesim. He takes some kind of ointment and puts it on in different places. Makashkesh. So he takes some kind of ointment and puts it on the olive trees, and if it's to improve the olive tree, then it's osa. V'im listo mesapetzimim muta. But if it's in order to just block up the holes in the bark in the tree and to protect the tree, then it's muta. The Rambam himself is making this distinction. If it's to improve, then that registers as a result, and that's osur. If it's to maintain, then it's mutter. It's a stir v'nei obey, explicit in the Rambam. Amazing. So how are we going to resolve this? So the Dina Babsky says here another fantastic principle. We've seen quite a few already today. Says Dina Babsky the following principle. Here, the purpose of blocking up the holes in the olive tree is not merely to maintain it. It's much more fundamental than that. It's to prevent it from dying. If you didn't fill up these holes, it wouldn't just regress a little bit, but it will survive. If you didn't put this ointment, anyone who knows apparently about olive trees would know that if you didn't put this ointment on the olive tree to block up the holes in the bark, what he calls the petzimim, the petza, the damage that's been done to the tree, then the tree would die. Okay, so what? If maintaining the tree is osa, then you have to let it die. Says Dina Babsky that this particular act of Mekashkesh is in a list of other acts, if you read the Rambam here, that are all considered Isurei Derabonon. They're not Avodas HaKarka and Avodas HaIlon Midaraisa, because they're too external. Apparently this Kishkush is considered relatively external, and Midaraisa is inherently Mutter. Midrabonon it was Osa. Because it's an Issa Derabonon, the Rabonon made a special heter that in the event that the tree was going to die, Heimomru veHeimomru, when it's going to die, then we will revert to the Din Deraisa, that it's Mutter. And therefore, this has got nothing to do with improvement, making a chid. Improvement, that's an avoda. Maintaining is not an avoda. That's nothing to do with it. Maintaining is also an avoda sakarka. In the event it's going to die and it's an issa derabanan, heimomru veheimomru, they made a special heta. It's an avoda sakarka that's mutter. It's not that it's not an avoda sakarka. It's an avoda sakarka. But it's an avoda sakarka that's mutter because the rabbanon were the ones that considered it an avoda sakarka in the first place because it's relatively external. Since they were the ones that considered it, they decided that in the event that it's going to die, we're going to step back and be mutter it and revert to the din deraisa that it's mutter. And he brings a proof from Halacha Yud to explain that. So it seems we still have a few minutes left, and therefore I'd like to finish with the following idea. Until now, it's all been Dain Abramsky. So I've been safe. We've seen from this amazing piece, a tremendous principle has come out in all of Shas for the Rambam. That whereas we're always used to Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, you paskin always like the Bavli. That's just a dry rule. The Rambam is paskining Kedarkoi like the Yerushalmi. How are we meant to understand it? How can you have a dispute amongst Rishonim on the basic rules of Psak? There's no such thing. Either the rule is you paskin always like the Bavli, or the rule is you paskin always like the Shami. What is the rule? You can't have a rule of someone saying, well, this is Achri Rav and Nahato, it's I paskin always go good the road. If no, I disagree with that, I'm going according to the Miyat. What do you mean? You can't have a machlokas on the basic rules. You can have a machlokas in Sfora. How do we apply the rule? On the actual rule, the rule has to be a constant. So how are we meant to understand this? Amazing. So I thought to say the following, and I haven't checked, didn't have enough sforum on the plane to check it, but I think there's certainly a decent chance that it's true, and certainly the principles are true. This is not made up by me. We find there's halacha. Everyone knows Achrei Rabban Nahatos. We paskin according to Rov. Rov against Miat, we paskin according to Rov. That everyone knows. Not everyone knows that there are two types of Rov. There's a roiv. Sometimes we measure roiv, the majority decision, in terms of simple quantity, 10 against 1, 9 against whatever. But sometimes we find through there are Gemaras which measure roiv not in terms of simple quantity, but in terms of quality. What's he talking about? Where do we see that? Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is the first place you see it. You see this many times in all different places, but where you see it explicitly is in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Gemara wants to know, when you go Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, who do you paskin like? So Gemara says, maybe we paskin like Beis Shammai because there's more of them. Raif. Beis Hillel, sorry. Maybe we paskin like Beis Hillel because there's more of them. And maybe passing like Beis Shammai, Loshon LeGemara is Charifei Tvei, because they're sharper. Ask everyone, what do you mean? If Beis Hillel is Rove, then Achar Rav Natos, that's the Torah. You can't argue with that. So you mean, maybe passing like Beis Shammai, but it's Charifei Tvei. What does that meant to mean? They're sharper. Very nice for her, very nice. But what's that got to do with halacha? The Torah says you always go according to the roiv. I don't know, Charifa Tvei, not Charifa Tvei, you go according to the roiv. Here we see there are two ways to measure roiv. There's roiv in simple quantity, Beis Hillel. And there's roiv in quality, Charifa Tvei, he's sharper. So his opinion is qualitatively worth more. And that's a roiv in quality. Chas v'sholom and chas v'chalila to suggest the Gemara is arguing on the whole idea of Achir Rav Nahates. The Gemara is mistafik when I have a clash between a roiv which I measure in simple quantity and a roiv which I measure in simple in quality, which roiv now do I follow? And that, the Gemara paskens at the end, we follow roiv in quantity. But initially, the Gemara wasn't sure because it's a rove against rove. Which way do we go? So we see here an amazing principle, and we see this many, many other places as well. That's the most obvious one. That you cannot, that the Gemara often measures rove in quality and not in simple quantity. We always pass a night Beis Hillel, with a few exceptions. Obviously, Yalkagam. Okay, so what's this got to do with us? So I was thinking perhaps to apply that idea here. Perhaps we can apply that here. Perhaps there's no rule that we Bavli Yerushalmi Paskin like the Bavli. That's not the rule. That's just the result. Why do the Rishonim say we Bavli Yerushalmi Paskin like the Bavli? Because the Bavli was edited through seven generations of Koche Elyonim beyond and beyond Amaroim, and therefore was perfected to the very, very last drop of ink. And beyond even that. The Yerushalmi, because it was an Eretz Yisrael at the time, the Romans weren't particularly friendly relative to the Persians. Not that the Persians were much better, the Persians weren't pretty nice to us, but they allowed us to travel around. The Romans, if they saw us walking around with a manuscript, we wouldn't survive the day. So it wasn't practically possible to edit the Yerushalmi. It was edited once by Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, relatively, by a 0.01%, we're not talking major Rabbi Yochanan, it was Rabbi Yochanan, first generation of Meir, borderline Tana. But relatively, there's a greater level of accuracy and quality in the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. And therefore, perhaps, because of that, it was decided by the Rishonim that the Bavli is considered a roiv in Eichus, and we paskan according to the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. In this case, there's no roiv in Kamas. So therefore, it's just the roiv in Eichus we have. And under those circumstances, everyone would agree that we measure the roiv in Eichus. If that is true, perhaps there's a counter-argument. And that's where the Rambam comes in. Very nice. You have this external factor that it was edited relatively more perfectly. But wait a sec. Where is Yerushalmi actually learnt? Where did this Torah come from? Torah is Eretz Yisrael. Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim. Tisha Kavin Shal Chochma, Eretz Yisrael. The same Torah in Eretz Yisrael is nine times more qualitatively, has nine times greater quality than the Chutzlaretz. It's Gemara's. So the Rambam perhaps says, Avir Eretz Yisrael, Machim Torah Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalmi, that Torah, inherently has greater quality than the quality of the bubbly. These are all very thin lines, and therefore perhaps in halacha, lemaisa, that is considered to be the roiv in eichus. The counter argument, that's a very intangible measurement, and therefore other Rishonim said, we'd rather have a tangible measurement, editing, and non-editing relatively, than inherent quality, because avir adar tzal machkim. So there's really arguing about how do we measure roiv in eichus. Do we follow a tangible and intangible, a tangible measurement, which would therefore only be the editing process, therefore roiv Rishonim say bavli Yerushalmi we paskin like the bavli, or do we take into account internal inherent eichus, which obviously has an edge on something relatively external, which is the Rambam Shitta perhaps. And if we're right, then we've explained how we can have this reverse in halacha. I think you're all amazing for turning up here on a Sunday morning and suffering Zoom. You give me a tremendous amount of chizuk to take back to Eretz Yisrael with me. And thank you very, very much for the opportunity to speak to such special people. Thank you very much.